Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee.
Him coming, and I kind of, you were like here 19 days that he drove down here from Omaha to work on things here, and so we really appreciate it. So,
thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. I guess I'd like to just start off to say what an awesome pastor you have, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very good. We'll include Andy in that, too. Them guys were here helping a lot. There's a lot of guys, I see your faces out there that you were here helping, so I appreciate all the help with that also. I've titled this message today, I've Got to Tell Somebody. To get started, I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you do you think that we're in a spiritual war right now? Yeah. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, I'm with you. I truly believe that. The Apostle Paul often spoke of the weapons of warfare, which aligns up with actually what's going on today in the time we live now. This war actually started before man even was created and placed here on the earth. It started many, many centuries ago when Satan decided to rebel against the will of God. And so Ezekiel tells us that Satan was once, at one time, a beautiful angel, a cherubim. And so I'm going to read Ezekiel 28. I will be reading out the NIV. And so the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up your lament concerning the king of Tyre. And say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are a model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, crystallite, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a cherubim, a guardian cherubim, for I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till the wickedness was found in you. This angel had it made. Setting so beautifully, had everything, but greed and pride took over. And then in Isaiah talks about his rebellion. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning stars, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You have greed, you have pride, and then you throw in some arrogance. It don't work. And he was thrown. In this battle, it's actually, if you think about it, it's a battle of good and evil, light and darkness. God versus Satan. You might even say that man and woman became the prize in this battle. So the question is for us, the human race, we are given the freedom of choice, right? No one forced you to come here today. Well, most of you probably. But we are given freedom of choice. And so will man choose to live in obedience with God and live in his kingdom forever? Or will we join Satan's rebellion against God and live eternally in the kingdom of Satan? It's a choice each and every one of us has to make. The bummer deal is all the descendants of Adam have been born into sin. And for the most part, the world lives in the flesh. Our key text this morning is Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. What this verse is saying is that we have already overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, and that Lamb being Jesus. As Pastor and Andy both, as they opened up this morning, I told Ethan, I said, I think he got into my sermon notes. It was awesome. Holy Ghost set up here. It's good. It's good. And by the word of their testimony. It is not saying that one day we will overcome Satan, but that we have already overcame him because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been fulfilled. It's a good place for an amen and a hallelujah. It's done. The battle has been fought. So, who are the people that have defeated Satan? People that are born again and have received the gift of salvation. People that love the Lord with all their hearts, their mind, and their soul. People who obey him. People who walk in total forgiveness. And this is this one here, there's many struggle with. I know people that struggle with forgiveness. They'll hang on to something for days, weeks, years. I know family members that quit coming over to somebody's place because they were not nice to their dog. Seriously, I mean, we struggle with forgiveness. And if we don't forgive, God won't forgive. We've got to have a heart that forgives. And people that live by faith. And believe me, it's not always easy. We know that. And that's why Jesus came back in the flesh and he stayed around 33 years so that he would know our thoughts, our temptations, everything from when we are toddlers to children to young adults to adults. He went through all them stages to know what our feelings were and what our temptations were at each and every one of those ages. So he understands what we're going through. We're not throwing something new on him. So the word of God is truth, and God stands on his truth. He said heaven and earth will pass away, but his truth will never pass. It's here. God's word will last forever. You know, it's going to take more than just a nice guy, a nice smile, and good gestures to make it into the kingdom of God. Literally, the blood of Jesus was shed for all of us. And you know, there's going to be suffering for us. It's not going to be peaches and cream all our life. I had a math teacher that told me that once. But unfortunately, Satan, who is a god in this world right now, which we live, but that is a god with a little g. He has blinded a lot of people's mind's eye from receiving the promises in which the gospel truth has for them from Jesus. And because of this, they cannot overcome or be able to defeat Satan. And it's a sad deal to let pride and arrogance keep us from knowing the truth. Because most of the time, that's what keeps us from the truth. I know before I was born again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it was pride that kept me from wanting to take that next step and take my spiritual blinders off. So I understand. The meaning of the word overcomer. It's a person who overcomes something. Or it's one who succeeds in something that they are dealing with. They become victorious over it. They become a conqueror. The blood of Jesus that was shed has enabled us to be overcomers to Him and through Him. To be an overcomer, we have become partakers in His death and His resurrection. He shed His blood for us, and not His angels. And it was because of mankind that Jesus went to the cross. It was because of you and me that He went through all that terrible stuff, not to prove that He could do it, but to prove how much He loved us. When Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished," when He gave up His last breath and He rose from the dead, we immediately became overcomers. And that's exactly the time in which we already defeated Satan. He said, "It's finished." Jesus fought the battle for us and gave us the victory. He knew we should and would probably need a helper, so He sent His Holy Spirit back, the comforter, the helper. And believe me, we have depended on Him this last week. We've had a tough week with some deaths in the family. And without the help of the Holy Spirit, it would be tough to get through a lot of these trials and tribulations. He knew we would need some help to continue to be overcomers. I've got a few points here over that verse. My first point is we became overcomers by His blood. I've got five quick verses I'm going to read here that helps illustrate this. 1 John 5, 4 through 5. How many brings their Bibles to church? You got awesome, awesome. That is your sword. Don't leave home without it. I've got one everywhere. You never know when you're going to have to whip it out, you know, and help somebody, show somebody. Like 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." You know, His Word is everything that we need there. Okay, 1 John 5, 4 and 5. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Luke 22:20. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you. Romans 5:9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. And Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will be like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father. What a promise. What a promise. That should get you excited. That should get you excited. Make the hair on your arm stand up. That is an awesome promise. That as long as we continue to be overcomers, your name will continue to be in that book. That is one of the awesomest promises that we can hold on to. You know, I love our president dearly. And his election campaign slogan, "A promise made is a promise kept," and in which he's doing a very good job, which is awesome. But our Lord and Savior promises, they are truth and will be kept forever. Them ones we can rely on, and we can rely on them with every breath that we take. Amen? 1 Peter 1:5, or 1:18 and 19, says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, by with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, without blemish or defeat." Another promise. Promises, promises. He just continues. And our second point, the word of their testimony was powerful. Testimonies are powerful. I don't know about you, but I love hearing testimonies. They strengthen my faith. They're just good. And I truly believe testimonies are an awesome part and a very important part of our walk with Christ. Jesus left his disciples with testimonies to strengthen their faith and their witness. And through their witness and travels, they had testimonies to share from Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit that was done to strengthen their walk and encourage others. So, what about your testimony? Do you share your testimony with people to strengthen their walk, to let them know what Jesus has done in your life? You should. If you haven't, you should. So this morning, for a few minutes, hopefully if it's a few minutes, sometimes it is and sometimes it's longer. I'm glad Pastor starts at 10 so we don't have lunch till noon, right? When I did the funeral message yesterday, my oldest son thought I did a good job, but he thought I went a little long. So, first of all, I grew up going to a Catholic school. I had nuns for teachers. I got crooked fingers to show it. Did anybody have to put their hands on the desk? Oh, man, how times have changed. And we grew up going to church regularly. I know, not missing church at all. Our attendance was good. I spend a lot of time in the confessional. I had my Our Fathers and Hail Marys down really good. And before I go on, I just want to tell you some of the stuff I'll be saying. I don't care who you tell. And as I've done my testimony with youth groups and stuff, I just want you to know that I'm not the same person anymore. It was before I asked Jesus into my heart. So, as I grew up, like a lot of kids, I started drinking at weddings, different things where the spike punch, sneaking stuff, where we would go with our parents. And then by the age of probably 12 or 13, I was sneaking blue ribbon beers out of my dad's fridge down in the basement. And through high school, I was in all the sports, but I ended up with the wrong crowd. I started smoking pot, doing some other drugs, but alcohol was the drug of my choice. I wasn't a bad athlete. I look back now and wonder how I could have really been. I was doing this stuff when I was a freshman, and I was breaking records in distance running, yet I was doing a bunch of junk. After high school, I started hanging around with the motorcycle club. I ended up joining them. For a while, things got a little crazy. I've been in fights with guys with knives, with guns. I probably should be dead. Little did I know the Lord had some other stuff for me. I married my lovely wife, Diana, when I was 21. Of course, I made her change to Catholic because I was. And she came from a Lutheran background. After we changed, she was the one that ended up going to church anyway. You know, I went 3 times a year, whether I thought I needed to or not. She was born again before I was. She started going to the Assembly God Church there in Norfolk. And you have to hear her testimony someday. It's really, she's got a good one. And I was an alcoholic. She would go around and she would anoint my beer cans, and she would iron my clothes and pray over them. She took a picture of me lying beside the toilet one night when I came home, in which I shared at our church in Norfolk at a later date. Guess who this is? She asked me to go to church many times with her, but at that time, it was in the early 90s, and at that time, I thought, I've heard of churches like this. And right shortly before that, out in California way, you know, they were going to get beamed up in some spaceship or something, you know. I didn't stop her or the kids from going, but I said, go ahead, you know. I'm good where I am. And then she told me about this guy named Kenneth Copeland. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. He's from Texas. He's a preacher. And she said, well, if you're not going to go to church with us, why don't you at least turn the TV on and watch this guy? So the first time I turned the TV on to watch this guy, they was doing an outside setting, and he rode his motorcycle right up to the altar. I said, what is going on here? You mean you can ride a motorcycle like that and belong to a church or even a pastor? And so I watched him several times, and And then she asked me to go to church one time, and I said, okay, I'll go, but we're going to sit in the back row. Because if I want to go, I'm going. And so, of course, she walks in the church, and she goes down to the front like she usually does, and I'm standing at the back door. Hey, I'm back here. So, anyway, after church, I was kind of upset because I go, what did you tell Pastor about me? She said, nothing. I said, everything he was talking about was about me. He was even looking at me. I know he was. And so I went a few times, and back up just a hair, the time I walked in, there was probably about 5 or 6 little old ladies. They come up to me and, so you're the one we've been praying for all these years. And yes, I learned to love them ladies very much. They are some prayer warriors, and I thank them today for their prayers. So then went to church, and I tried quitting drinking on my own after I was saved. And we'll back up just a hair. Pastor Leroy Wire, anybody know him? He was a pastor. Well, at the time, he wasn't a pastor in our church, but we had a Bible study and everything, and we start going to Bible study with him. And he said, would you want to go and help out with the Royal Rangers? He was a commander. And I said, yeah, I was a Boy Scout. I can do that. And so went to a Royal Rangers camp out, sitting around, and Pastor Leroy has a altar call for the boys. You know, we're sitting around, and I'm kind of looking around, and all of a sudden it's like somebody grabbed me by the back of my hoop and stood me up, and I said, what are you doing? And anyway, I said the salvation prayer there at the campground, told my oldest son Nick, who at that time was, I think, 13, and he, I told, don't tell your mom. I said tomorrow at church, I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to go up front. So Pastor Rose usually had an altar call. So when he did, I went up front in front of the congregation and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And come back, and she didn't even know I had left. She was still had her head down. And so after that, I knew that I wanted to get it together, and I knew I wanted to quit drinking, and so I tried quitting myself. I'd quit during the week, and then I would just make up for it on the weekend. You know, it just, I couldn't do it myself. So we had a speaker. What was her name? Jelaine Christensen was come to our church and had an altar call. And I went up, and my grandpa was an alcoholic, my dad was, and I was too. And I wanted it to stop. I wanted it to stop. And so I went up, and I had her pray for me. And at that time, I felt the craziest sensation go through my body. I can't explain it. It was just crazy, and I have never felt it since. But from that point on, I haven't had a, 20 years ago, I haven't had a drink. And another thing he took away, I used to say the F word all the time. In front of my mom, I would say it. It was just part of my language, part of the sentence. And he delivered me from swearing. And so I'm still swear-free. Yeah. And there's been a couple times that I've said crap. And my kids say, Dad is mad. And so, but it's something that we got to continue to pray that the Holy Spirit continues to overflow in you. that continues to help you with this, because we need a helper every day. But I've never had a desire to drink since, and so praise the Lord. My sister Kim, she told me, enjoy that feeling, because it was great. I'd stay up and read the Bible at night. I couldn't get enough of it. Diana would tell me, you got to go to bed. It's 1 o'clock. You got to get up in a few hours, go to work. And I just say, Lord, just let me not be tired at work tomorrow. And he would let me not be tired. And I continued in that. And my sister Kim said, just enjoy that feeling, because it's going to go away. I thought, I don't want this feeling to go away. And so how I have found to keep this feeling is I share Jesus Christ with everybody. Wherever I'm working, whatever I'm doing, I share him, and I let him, I give him testimonies of things that the Lord has done for me, that he can do for them. And so it's incredible, that feeling that continues to work through a person. I was wiring the Ponca Courthouse up in Ponca, Nebraska, and it got to the point where I needed some help pulling some wire. My apprentice, he was telling me how big and tough he was, that he's never broke a bone in his body, and I said, Brian, don't tell me that. That morning, an hour later, he is standing on a 6-foot ladder, drilling a 4-inch hole through a concrete deal. Drill caught, broke his wrist in 3 places. And so I was needing, my helper was gone. I needed somebody to help me pull wire. Got to know the sheriff up there real good, and he would let, so-and-so can help you. So I'd take guys out, and within a short time, the guys in jail were getting saved. They were telling, Bill, you got to go out and talk to him today. You got to go. So I was getting different guys, and they were helping me, but they wanted to hear about Jesus, in which helped me get in to what I thought I would be doing for some time. In Norfolk, the rescue mission, they went down on Wednesday nights to the Madison County Jail, and it was in the paper and on the radio that they were looking for someone, a volunteer. And so I thought, well, I'll see if put my name in. Well, 25 people put their name in, and I got picked. So it was a God setup. And so I went down with 3 Baptist pastors, and we went, and we had some good conversations. And got to pray with a lot of people down there. I got to say salvation prayer with one of the guys that was involved with the murders at the bank in Norfolk. I don't know if you remember that, about, I don't know how many years ago. And it just picked up, and I felt I was being called into ministry. And so we were wondering where we would get the money if I was, because I couldn't go down to the jail alone if I didn't have them guys with me. So you needed to be credentialed to sit with them one-on-one. So we pulled out a jar of change that we'd been saving for a long time for something special, and got all the kids and put it out on the floor, and we all counted it, and she took some special coins out or whatever, but it was within like $3 of what I needed for my schooling. And so it was an awesome deal. Then we went down. I wanted to go down to Kenneth Copeland. I wanted to see him in person. They had a thing, a Southwest convention deal going on or something, and I'm just going to tell you a quick testimony on outside the testimony, okay? We got time. They're in slow cookers. So we went we went down there, and Diane and I, there's about eight years between you and Dacia, or seven. Anyway, since I had been saved, I wanted one more son. I wanted one more son that I could pray with, be with. And we'd been trying on our own. So we went down there. It's a week-long convention. And so the whole time I went down there, and I went to everything. I was there first by the door to open it up. I took everybody's coats with me so I could save seats and everything. I was the first one there. Went to every session all week long and prayed for one more son. I want one more son. And we left there. The next week, I fasted for a whole week. All I had was water for 7 days. Every time I got a stomach cramp, I prayed, Lord, one more son. One more son. That was August, first week in August. September, she was pregnant. And God is good. And I knew, we went and did an ultrasound a couple months later, and the nurse says, oh, you want to know what it is? I said, I know what it is. It's a boy. How do you know that? I said, that's what I prayed for. And it was right. It was a boy. And then I knew he was going to be born on a special day. I thought he'd be born on Sunday, you know, after leave church. Honey, we're going to have to go to the hospital. So, well, her due date came and went. Sunday was gone. Honey, you're going to have to wait till next Sunday. She said, don't tell me that. So here she is, 2 weeks overdue, and he was born on the second anniversary that I was saved. So it's good. God is good. He'll do special things for those who that are faithful. Amen? Okay. One rabbit trail done. Okay. Well, before I go on, one more. The guy that broke his wrist that was helping me up in the Ponca courthouse, every winter different people was in charge to do the parking lot lights out to the plaza, 70 foot up in the air. I don't know if anybody's been 70 foot up in the air in a bucket truck that is only supposed to go 60. Okay? We was up, it was my turn to change. We always did it right before the holidays and stuff. So it was like October-ish, and we'd go and change all the lights, ballasts or whatever needed changed, 480 volt, all the lights. We're up there, I need parts. We come down to go get parts, and it's starting to, weather's coming in. You ain't supposed to go up if the flags are even doing anything. Well, they're standing kind of out. And I've got to open stuff up there. I said, Brian, let's pray. So we prayed. I said, Lord, give me 15 minutes. Let me get up there and get this closed off and let it be done. Let us be safe. We got in the bucket truck, started going up. Flags are blowing straight out. Not even our hair is moving. We went up, we look around, the clouds are swirling, the flags are straight out, and nothing's happening. We do all the stuff we need to do, get it closed up. I got about 30 foot down from the thing before we were to the ground, and it just started wobbling. Got her to the ground. That was on a Friday. Sunday, Brian and his wife came to church and gave their life to the Lord. I mean, God is real. There's testimonies out there. I could sit here for 2 hours and tell you stuff just like that, what he's done in my life. And he is real, but he wants us to share stuff like that. When God does something in your life, share it with somebody. You know what? I missed something, but we're going to do it in just a minute. Felt like we were being called, and I went and preached in just kind of a relief preacher, going out all over Nebraska, some of the little towns out west and stuff, and just preaching and feeling we were being called. And Ina Hill, we was at a winter retreat, and she said, "Do you guys got a church?" "No, we're just kind of filling in pulpits." "Well, Fairbury is open." And I had never, ever even heard of Fairbury. And so we went back home and we had to look on the map. Where's Fairbury? This and that. And we went down there and we spent a little over 8 years down there. And awesome people down there. That's a church of family. It's awesome. And your daughter is in the right place. She is good. So that's good. So, and then our oldest son, he told us one day Ethan had a baseball game, and on our way back from the baseball game, got us on the phone and put it on speakerphone, and he said, "Dad and Mom, we're pregnant." "Oh, awesome." "Dad and Mom, we're really pregnant. There's two." "And you guys been talking about maybe you've been feeling maybe a calling away or something, and why don't you come to Omaha?" Ah, there's three things I said when I graduated I'd never do: speak in front of people, wear a tie, and move to Omaha. Don't never say never. And so, well, first part of August, a couple years ago, we got Ethan in school, and he didn't miss no football or nothing. And it was a Holy Ghost setup. Everything just went. The banker lady said, "This has never happened before," didn't she? I asked her if she wanted to come up and speak, and she said, "No, I'll just shake my head yes or no." But anyway, it was a Holy Ghost setup. And since then, what we've been doing is doing some Bible studies at home on Wednesday nights. We do starting a Holy Spirit class at church before service on the first service. But before I go, I want to tell you about one quick thing that I skipped over. And when I got baptized in water, I had seen on TV and stuff some of the guys and people, they come up out of the water and they're baptizing the Holy Spirit at the same time, and they start speaking in tongues. So when I was baptized, they come up and it didn't happen. I was bummed out. And so I seeked, and one morning I was putting up all the lightning rods. We were wiring a new building at the hospital, and I was doing all the lightning rods up on top of the building, and I always got there before everybody because I always just went up. You can see over all of Norfolk, and I'd go up there and pray. So one morning, we usually started at 6 o'clock. And one morning I was just up there praying and stuff, and all of a sudden it just shata kota sadaramasa. I started speaking in tongues, and it just kept going on, and it was louder. And people are starting to come to work, and I'm standing on top of the building, and I'm praying in the spirit. Some of the guys said, "Navani, you start drinking again?" Hollered up at me. And it's incredible that as long as you continue to seek, it might not be on your timing, but I would just encourage you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a very needed thing in the times we are living. I encourage you for that. But I wanted to play a song by Don Francisco, and I kind of skipped over it. Do we still got that up there? Can we do that? While he's looking that up, I'll tell you one more. We were doing a Culver's in Norfolk, and we was going out to the where they signal where the menu is, and I had a pull wire out there, and I couldn't get my fish tape through. We tried every angle, and we thought we was going to have to cut it up, and we kind of knew exactly where it was under the floor and stuff, and everybody was sad and mad and everything. I said, let's walk away. I got to go to prayer. We walked away, did a couple other things, and I prayed, Lord, just let this be a testimony. Let this fish tape go through there. And sure enough, right after dinner, after lunch, we came back. Fish tape went through just like nothing. Just whoosh, pulled a whole bundle of wire through it. No holdup or nothing. It's just incredible. Incredible. Okay, let's do it. At that time, I don't know if you recognize, but he said, don't tell nobody. But it wasn't quite his time. But he is risen, and now you can tell somebody. And then the last point that I'd like to share with you is they loved Christ more than their own life. What this means is they were ready to die for their faith and hold on tight to that testimony of what Jesus Christ had done for them to the point of death. I know for most of us, that probably ain't going to happen. Hopefully not, but if it does, I mean, the Word of God says we need not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know some people that are so shy, they won't even tell anybody about Jesus. We need not be ashamed. We are living in the end times. I truly believe that. And I believe it's time. I know I got a lot of family members that need to be saved also. There's a testimony in that about Christmas one time, but I won't go there. But we need to ask the Holy Spirit to empower us with the boldness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to get called a holy roller like Andy calls everybody. But... we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and because they became overcomers and were saved by the blood of the Lamb, and we need to share in that testimony. You know, Jesus went to the cross like a slaughtered animal, and He was the ultimate sacrifice without blemish. He was perfect to give us life and eternal life. Can we just give him a hand clap right now? Huh? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. And so before I close here, what I would like to ask is if there's anybody here today that might have walked away a little bit, or maybe you haven't even asked Jesus in your heart at all. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer. And for those of you that have asked Jesus in your heart already, I'd like you just to say it along also. You know, ain't going to hurt you to do it again. So there's nothing fancy in these words that I'm going to say, but I truly believe that if you believe what the words that we're going to say here in a bit, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you have never asked Jesus in your heart before. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'd like you to pray it out loud so I can hear. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know I have fallen short of your glory. I know you died and rose again. And I know that I'm an overcomer. So from this day forth, Lord, I choose to follow you. Thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, thank you, Randy. Don't you like the power of a story? Somebody's story. So many times we're afraid to tell people about Christ, but all we have to do is tell them our story. And each of yours is different. And I know that this his story, where God has brought him from, where he's taken him, is connected with some of you. Amen? And would you stand this morning? I'm going to have those in help out with prayer. Gary, Victor, I think Victor's here. Randy, would you join us up front here as well? And whether it's to invite Christ, just to confirm what Christ has done in your heart and your life. But maybe my folks raised me in the church. I didn't know what it was like to not be part of a life without going to church. But my folks, for them, it was much different for them. It was much different. They both grew up in alcoholic homes and lived with the consequences of that. Both their fathers were that way. And there's some repercussions there. And maybe this morning, we all have things in our own lives that maybe we just don't have that power to break it. And we need to God to break some of those things in our life. So I invite you forward. And maybe you just need prayer for healing or something this morning. I just sense in my spirit maybe God wants to do that this morning. You've been praying about something, longing for, whether it's for a child or you need God to do some healing that the doctors aren't able to take care of, right? Thank God for doctors, right? But sometimes they don't have the answers either. They help you as much as they can, and we need God to come in and step in. If you have prayer this morning, I invite you to come forward. They're going to lead us in that chorus, Love Ran Red, just reminding us of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So if you want prayer this morning, come forward. Otherwise, just worship God and just pray. Just ask God, how is this message speaking to me this morning? What do you want to do in my life? Amen. Have one kind of closing prayer, and we'll sing that through that one more time. We want to take up just a love offering. Randy ministered to us today and shared his testimony, so it part of goes into that, but we're going to take care of his mileage and gas expenses and things like that, but we also just want to bless him for ministering to us, and Randy just has a great heart. He wants to help out. He identifies with churches our size and communities our size, and he wants to be a blessing that way. So we want to keep him doing what God's called him to do. Amen. And he was a real blessing to us. So we're going to take up a love offering. The ushers will be around after I pray, and they'll, whatever God places upon your heart, if you can do a couple bucks, if you can do much more above and beyond that, great. We just want to make sure that just obey God this morning. Amen. But I'm going to also just pray for one, for confidence, that you can boldly share your story. So I'm doing, for my dissertation's on pastoral leadership confidence, so I'm having to really dig into what confidence is. And it's interesting, I was just looking at the Hebrew, the Old Testament, okay, and those words that are translated confidence in our Bible. And the one is batah or something like that. That's the Hebrew word. But the idea is openness. So think, if you're in the battle, out on the battlefield, and would you want to face your enemy on an open battlefield where you could see where they were coming from and you knew where they were at? Would you rather face them there, or would you rather face them in a wooded forest where they could be hiding around any tree or anything like that? Openness, right? And so that word means, that idea, openness, that we can see what's out there. And when we can see what's out there, It provides security. And when there's security, there's confidence, right? Our confidence takes a hit when we're afraid of what is unknown, right? What we can't see. And in the New Testament, in the Greek, the word that's translated confidence often means that we have that power, that boldness to share what's in our heart, what God wants us to share, right? You think about Peter, one of the greatest examples. He was a leader. There's no doubt that he was a leader. But when it comes to, hey, do you know this? You know Jesus? Oh, no, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. Not just once, three times, right? 40 days later, 50 days later, 3,000 people there, hostile crowd. And he stands up and he shares Christ and he preaches an anointed message. 3,000 people get saved. The same man. What's different is the Holy Spirit that gave him the boldness and the confidence to share what God wanted him to share. And so we're all like that. I believe we all have a little bit of Peter in us. We all have had that humanness, that chicken, I call it. We all have chicken inside of us, right? And we need God's Spirit to help us. Amen? That's the first thing. The second thing is maybe you have family, friends, coworkers that just need, you see where maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's other forms of addiction that have a hold on their life, and you just need God to intervene and break bondages there. And so I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, and would you just stretch out a hand? Nobody looking around, but stretch out a hand if that's you this morning. Just stretch out a hand in faith. Say, we need some deliverance. Father, this morning we just come before you, Lord God. You touched the eyes of the blind and they could see. You spoke to the dead and they came to life. Those that were possessed and controlled by spirits, you set free, Lord God. And so, Father, this morning we pray that you would release your power and your anointing. Lord God, those that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, we talked about last week, were healed. And Lord God, we just come and we stand in the gap. We intercede for those loved ones, co-workers, family, Lord God, that just need to be set free, Lord God. Just as Randy, Lord God, as his wife interceded and prayed for him, Lord God, you hear our prayers. You hear our prayers, Lord God. And so, Father, this morning we just agree together and we ask in the name of Jesus. You provide those answers, Lord God. Set people free, so that they can know you. And secondly, Lord God, set us free to share the story within us, Lord God. You've redeemed us. You've saved us. You've set us free, Lord. Give us the boldness to share Christ with the world around us, Lord, that needs to hear that message. Lord, don't allow us to keep it in, but Lord God, let us share that message of what Christ has done in our heart and our life. And Lord, we give you the thanks, we give you the praise, and we ask it.